straight oral Bible storying with you first and have you engage with the story before I gave you a report on my work. I have no idea when I last gave you an update on work, so you just kind of get what's happening lately, and I've probably missed some things that you've not heard about in the meantime. So I work, I've got the dot working? Yes. So this here is the northern point of the southern coast of Papua New Guinea. And there's an area there, linguists have said, is called Northeast Kiwai, and list in the official list of languages as one language. And the locals say, no, we're not, we're five. You can dispute what's a dialect and what's a language. When I have time, I intend to put the paperwork in to get us changed to five on the official list, but it hasn't happened yet. There's differences between them, there's similarities. I work with mostly the Kope people, which is the yellow circle, and my village is at Ubur, at the end of the arrow there. I've been in Papua New Guinea nearly 11 years now. It'll be 11 years at the end of March. So I moved to PNG before Eden was born, to give you a sense of scale. For nearly 8 of those years now, I've been working with the Kope, learning language, learning culture, becoming part of things. And on October 23 last year, we dedicated the Gospel of Luke. It's on the table there if you want to have a look at it after. And this has been a huge job. I mean, I've been there 8 years. Doing all the drafting. So this blackboard here on my veranda is where we drafted the entirety of Luke. Slowly, I taught people to use the computer, and you have Margaret operating the computer there. Margaret and Ikapu both on the computer there. I did teach 4 people, but 2 of them have fallen out of the work at the moment. So, but doing it, you do your draft. I would sit with my team and check it, which is what's happening here. And what's happening here after I had a much nicer classroom to work in. They take it out to the community and they check it with the community. We then get an external consultant, John, in and do the final checking. Once it's checked, we then recorded it and picked up a few more things during the recording process. And I'm extremely thankful to my friend Crystal and to Jin Huan, the guy doing the recording, for going out and doing it, because that happened in the first weeks of February last year. So I contacted Crystal and said, we need this recording to happen and I'm not coming back. And yeah, Crystal stepped in and went out to the village in my place, and that recording happened over the period of Claire's funeral, actually. The day of the funeral, the recording was still going on. So yeah, thankful to Crystal for doing that. And then once you've got it processed, typesetting, getting it looking good, getting it to the print shop, getting it printed, but also making other products as such. So we made a series of picture books. So this is the Gospel of Luke. Come look at it after. And then with the help of my friends Jude and Tammy, there's, I think, 22 picture books in this pile where they cut and paste from Luke into a picture book template so that people can read Bible stories with pictures. Don't ask about my printing budget this year, I blew it. But we have a lovely printer that does colour, and so there's now beautiful coloured picture books for people. And this feels accessible, you know? If you're not that strong at reading, that's a bit scary. That's got pictures. And it's only a few pages long. And we made apps. So the recording on my phone, I can show you later, as it plays, it highlights and reads. And then we did the picture books in an app form as well. And I'm incredibly thankful for people in other places that I sent files to and apps appeared. It was marvellous. They did the work and, well, I did, you know, sick years translating Luke, but they turned it into apps and I didn't have to learn new technology, which was delightful. Yeah, so we have 2 apps. We have the series of picture books. This was when I went to the print shop to check the proof. And we have all the copies of Luke. And they're dedicated and they're out there. The thing now is for people to read them, listen to them, use them, and be changed by them. So that has been the core of my work over the last while, working with the Kope people, training them in translation, supporting them in their translation of Luke. They're now working on Acts and on Genesis. We haven't started with the small ones. We've started with the essential ones. But this is why it's going to be a while between dedications, because we keep choosing really big, challenging books. I could have chosen Mark. I would have been done years ago. But we didn't. So before I said Northeast Kiwai is what the linguists say is that one language, and we say, no, we're not, we're five. Same Purari, they say, sorry, six. And during my last home assignment or furlough, I was travelling around churches and showing a photo, or a slide very similar to this one, and saying, you know, there's all these needs I'm only working with. These guys up here, a little bit there, sometimes somebody's there. The rest of it, they're asking for help. And by the time I got back to PNG, that had weighed on me too much and things started changing. But through the work of God, I'm actually going to change my slide order here. So the idea came up to do an oral Bible story in cluster project. So we invited all of these 11 language communities to come and to learn oral Bible storying. So this is what we did before, coming together to learn and internalize a Bible story so that you can tell it in your language. Now, it's easier for me, highly familiar with the Bible, leader of the synagogue, I can roll that off. What's a synagogue? You know? Okay, leader of the local Jewish place of worship. Okay, right. You know, bleeding sickness, we can cope with that. This was a fairly easy story in terms of cultural shifts. So just working with these groups. So we had our first OBS workshop, when was it? November. And we had 27 participants come from seven language communities. One, we weren't expecting to be there, but he's the pastor in my village, and I'm not very good at saying, no, you can't come to learn about the Bible. So we have one Tuariripi person there, when Tuariripi is nowhere near us, but Brian was there, so, you know, whatever. But there was then five communities we invited who didn't come. Our next workshop will be in February, which, seeing as we're already in January, is soon. Hope and pray that these last five communities come, and of the first seven communities, it would be nice if a few of them had a few more people. So Joe, who is the Anagibi speaker who came, he was the only one from his community. Okay, he's grown up Anagibi, but his mum's Kopé, so he just worked with my group and worked in Kopé and went home and did it in Anagibi. But it would be nice if a few more Anagibi came and Joe actually had a team to work with instead of being absorbed by my team. And this will be a series of six workshops over 2 years, coming together for 2 weeks, studying a series of hopefully five stories each time. We only achieved four on the first one because it was also new and overwhelming. So three workshops this year and then another two the following year. And this means these communities now have scripture in their language where many of them didn't before. It's exciting. So I'm going to go back to the classroom. The other biggest thing that has happened since I went home to PNG, 3.5 years ago I finished my last home assignment and returned to PNG, I would be. We built this classroom. We'd been working on the veranda of my house, which as you saw is not particularly large. And we were wanting to do more workshops. OBS was a potential, literacy training, other things. So we built our beautiful classroom here, which is a massive undertaking. And this is now where we host. My house is in the background there. So that's my house, and this is our classroom. And this is where the Kopé team works on their translation, where we're hosting the OBS workshops, and where we're hosting other workshops I'll tell you about soon. I've got 11 weeks of workshops coming up this year, happening here. So the big thing going on at the moment is we're building a dormitory. So far for workshops, the community has hosted participants, but 11 weeks of workshops, that's too much to ask of a small subsistence farming community. So in a week from now, the construction will be underway. I start my journey home to PNG tonight. I get back home tomorrow afternoon. The builders, the first lot fly down on Friday, some more fly down on Monday. I go down in just over 2 weeks to join them. So, yeah, on your marks, get set, go 2023. And straight on the back of building, we have the next OBS workshop. So it's exciting, it's good, it's challenging. I'm now doing a whole lot of project and management things that I don't always feel equipped for, but it's good, and training up the local guys to do more of the course management and that sort of thing. But yeah, next time I have a picture, there should be a dormitory here on that spot of grass. Last year, we upgraded our toilets, literally upgraded, and our wash houses. It's Sago Dry, dry composting toilet system, if anyone cares to look it up. And those smaller building ones, as well as the big building, is done in partnership with the Mission Hospital, 3-hour boat travel away. So these builders here have come from the hospital. Marshall was volunteering at the hospital. So really thankful for our partners at the hospital who make it, everything possible. OBS. Another big part of the work is literacy, vernacular literacy, reading, learning to read and write in your own language. While we are definitely taking an oral approach with oral Bible storying, with recording Luke, with all of those things, people want to be able to read and write. And the best way is to start in the language you know, and then later you can bridge to the national education language, which is English. To do that, we need to teach teachers to teach, and we need materials for children to read. So that's all sums up under literacy. So this is what we call our hanging library of copair books. So this is all the Luke things, and this is other stories that we put up under the classroom because there's a PowerPoint there and free phone charging, and I'm hoping that while people are sitting watching their phone charge, they'll actually pull out a book and have a read. But producing books is part of my job. People write stories and do pictures, and then processing that into a pretty book format is part of what I do, with some help. And then this was 18 months ago now, teaching local volunteer teachers how to teach in their own languages. So there was about 8 languages in that class that they're going to go home and teach in. We invited the same 11 as we've invited to OBS, but not all of them came. So that was called Vernacular Creative Phonics in March. As I said, this year is off to a racing start. We have Vernacular Path to English, how you bridge from top place, from vernacular to English for children going into school that will be in English. I've got huge interest in the course, and I have to keep saying, you had to have done part one to come to part two. So we'll see who turns up and how many people I'm attempting to turn away while they're attempting to get in. And but this was our teaching team last time, Abu, Wayamu and Samuel, 3 beautiful people who have got lots of experience teaching in their top place. Top place is what Tokpisin uses to say vernacular, and I just keep slipping into it. So in their language, to their people. And as you all know, we're of a Lutheran heritage. What was fun is all 3 of them were actually Lutherans. So all those missionaries our church sent to PNG in times gone by results in beautiful people like this who love God and serve their communities as teachers. So having had an auntie who served as a teacher in PNG, there's just something sweet about working alongside Papua New Guineans who are now the teachers in PNG. So yes, we have VPE, Vernacular Path to English, coming up in March. The other workshops we do, we call Scripture Use Workshops. All of you have more theological education than the pastor in my village. Quite often our village pastors are people who someone said, we like you, you are now the pastor. Training not required. So we involve as much training as we can on how to use the Bible, how to understand the Bible, the big picture of Genesis to Revelations. So this year we have Scripture Application and Leadership Training course coming up, which is sort of basics of Christian faith. I worked with the team, my copair team, to translate the posters for the workshop, and they all got so excited about it just doing the posters. So that course is in May, is when we've got SALT happening. And hopefully at the other end of the year, in September or October, we'll have Healing the Wounds of Trauma, another workshop, which is around forgiveness and how God forgives and how we can forgive and how the trauma of the past can be worked through in that way, instead of being an endless cycle of revenge killings, which is the reality in many places. So I live in 2 places. I have my village life, which you've been seeing, where I live in the village of Ubuo, work with the Kopia people as well as various other language groups who turn up for workshops. Off-grid, established camping, you know. I have an indoor tap. I'm the only person in town with indoor plumbing. But I can only do that so long, and you need other colleagues around you for support and encouragement and a toilet that flushes and a few other things. So I will leave my village house, drive my boat across Gulf Province to park it at the hospital where I store it safely, and then they'll drop me to the airstrip where I get on my little plane, mine, you know what I mean, and return to Ukurrumpa where I have a real house and spend time there connecting with colleagues, catching up on computer tasks, being part of different things in the community there, being encouraged and refreshed and charging up for the next trip out. So tomorrow afternoon I'll be home in this house. I have 2 weeks to get ready to be back in this house. And I have to get up really early Tuesday morning to go to market to get food to start the dehydrator so that I have food when I'm in this house. So yeah, it's going to be an early start Tuesday. This year, Ukurampa got properly shaken down. We felt it down in Gulf Province, but Gulf, where I am in Gulf, is a swamp. So it's like an enormous bowl of jelly. When you start shaking it, it rock and roll good, but not much breaks. In the highlands, this is my kitchen, looking delightful. This is the end of my rainwater tank. 9,000 litres found their way to the basement. Because that was the steps just there go down into my basement, and that was the closest place for the water to evacuate to. I'm incredibly thankful for our community in Ukurampa, who, when I came back, I had a new water tank, my house was cleaned. Yeah, we had some trouble with the hot water still. People came and helped me, and I now have better hot water than ever before. So, yeah, thankful for my community. But it was a big shake, and there's still people feeling internally shaken because they couldn't get out of the house because the doors are jammed, or they got out but their child didn't get out, or those sort of things are still stirring in the community, and you'll get a small shake and people are a bit edgy still. We don't normally get them this big. When we're used to the 4-5 range, in the 7 range is a bit much. Now, while I work on my own, I'm not on my own. I'm part of a couple different amazing teams and communities. So this is from a few years ago now, but this is the Kopé translation team. People ask how many are in my team, and the answer is I don't know, because they work on the principle of the more the merrier, come and be part of it. So I feel I have far more people who think they are part of it than maybe I recognise. So it's okay. They're part of it. Welcome. Come on in. You know, join the work. Decide if you like it or not. Come back or don't. I have a core team who are the executive committee. Owen is our treasurer. Tompkin is project coordinator. Ikapu is chairman. Kaiai is secretary. And Orea is just awesome. I don't think he has a job title. He's just generally amazing. And this here is Ikapu, my chairman, somebody I really rely on. He spent 10 years as a captain with the Salvation Army. He was a first responder to tsunamis and this and this and this, and good training and amazing guy. And the number of times I sit there and say, thank God for the salvos, because of the training Ikapu's had, is amazing. So, yeah, and his wife Nancy as well. Salvos go 2x2. She was a captain as well, and she's also delightful to have around. So this is my Kopé team that I work with. And then I have my Gulf Delta team, who have been part of things. So Robbie and Debbie here are a New Zealand couple who first worked in the Gulf area in 1984, and they've now reached retirement age. Robbie's birthday must be coming up, and I think he's hitting 70 shortly. So they're back in New Zealand mostly. They try and come back, but COVID stopped them. They've just been back for 2 months. I love those two. They're just the sweetest, most beautiful people. And yeah, but they mostly live in New Zealand. I don't get them in PNG anymore. And yet, here's an exciting bedtime story for you. Studies in Kopé. The first half is a grammar paper that I did for my master's that's been expanded and filled in more for the publication. The second half gets really exciting. That's where Robbie writes about discourse analysis and tonal analysis of Kopé, so have fun. I honestly don't understand half of Robbie's, and I gave him the data and live in the language because he's just a walking genius and a brilliant man. So they're back in New Zealand. Hans here is project manager. So all of these workshops we have coming up are funded by an international group called Global Partnerships. 85% of our budget is travel for planes and boats and fuel. The workshop, once you're all there, isn't that costly. It's getting everyone there and out that is the biggest cost. So thankful for Hans. He's a farmer and therefore a small business manager. And he maintains all of the project applications and reports and accounts and things that I run from in fear. I do the written parts of the reports. It's a Dutch family, as you may have guessed from the Christmas card. His English is great in conversation, but you put it down on a project report, and I'm like, I'll just go over that one for you, Hans, and just, you know, tidy your English a tad a little bit before we submit. So, with his wife, Helena, let me get them right, Stephanie, Brittany, and Shania. But they're returning to the Netherlands. In June, they were doing what we say is going Finnish. The older two girls need to go back to the Netherlands for various reasons, and the way the Dutch school system works and doesn't fit with our school system in PNG means they're not coming back. And this is hard. Like, Hans is planning to be a remote project manager. A lot of what he does is by email. We're hoping our funding partners will cough up for him to come back at least once a year for a workshop and to keep building relationships, because it's all relationship based. But yeah, I'm about to lose Hans and the family, which is a huge loss. This picture here was a year ago, and I've kind of just had a mental blank on a name. She's returned to Finland because of her family, Kaya, and hasn't continued in a remote place. She was helping with a lot of the planes and the negotiations and the booking and the getting all the stuff we needed in order before a workshop. We've lost her back to Finland. This is my friends, the weavers, Nate, Jess, Matteo, Amira, and Malachi. Nate is our scripture use worker, so he's in charge of the scripture use workshops, part of the oral Bible storying workshops. His kids are having trouble. He's moved back to Canada. Once again, continuing in a remote assignment, the funders have agreed to fly Nate over probably twice a year from Canada. As I said, 85% of our budget's transport. Holly, she's still here. So this is my team where I've completely lost one to the Netherlands. This family's moved back to Canada, and these are my other nieces and nephews. They're not related, but they're my nieces and nephews, and I'm totally auntie to these kids, and I miss them. These guys are about to move back to the Netherlands. These guys have retired to New Zealand. But after last year, each time one of them said, "We're moving home," I'm like, well, no one died. Which is an unfortunate measure of the year, but they will continue to be involved. It's going to be a big shift not having Hans there to be an offsider and talk things through in person, and I'll have to work out the time zone to the Netherlands. And yeah. So it's an awesome team, and there's massive changes ahead. This is how much I'm part of the Weaver family. This is us on holidays at the coast a few years ago, and they've put this in their family photo album as family. You might notice a slightly soggy Auntie Hannah and an Auntie Megan in the back there, who I have no genetic connection to the actual Weavers. I don't even share a passport with them. Mine's from a different country. So I really like this photo. This was dawn service on Easter Sunday this year. Easter was hard this year. And we have a tradition in Okarampa at the dawn service that we have this cross covered in wire that you come up and you put your flower on and decorate the resurrection cross. And a friend snapped a photo of us putting our flowers on the cross. That's Hans. That's me. Totally unplanned, but I think it's the best team photo you can have. This is our work, bringing resurrection hope to people in ways they understand. So thank you. Thank you for all the ways you support and pray and encourage.